have had a storm in your life before? There's a lot of storms out there. I can remember one of the most difficult. Matter of fact, we had some winds this week, right? March winds, my mom used to tell me about. But I remember we went on a cruise maybe 10 or so years ago. It's probably longer than that because that's what it feels like. So it's usually 15. How many know what I'm talking about? Some years ago, we went on a cruise. And during the cruise, there was a hurricane out in the Caribbean, which is where we were. So if you wonder, well, wonder what happens when you're on a cruise ship during the hurricanes that happen. They do not go toward them, okay? They, like, go away from them. And so we didn't even know that there was a hurricane. And my wife had set all this up because she's a travel agent. And so she planned everything out, but she didn't plan for the hurricane. And so we were getting ready to turn around. This hurricane had been making its way toward Florida, toward Miami. And so sure enough, that's exactly where it was headed. It looked like, which is where we needed to go. And so what happened is we had to spend 2 extra days at sea because we couldn't get back. Yeah, that was rough. And so anyway, we were out there. And again, we had no idea what was going on everywhere else, but this hurricane slowed up when it hit the Bahamas and then finally went in on land in the Miami area, and then it cleared through, and then they opened up the port again, and so then we went in. And as we did that, this hurricane went across the state of Florida, and of course, I'm thinking, I got to get back. I got a church to take care of and pastor and everything. I got to get back. So much I've got to do. And we debated on what we should do, but palm trees are laying all over the place and things like that. So we had heard that there wasn't too much gas and different things. So we strategized. I'm a strategizer. I figured if anybody had gasoline, it'd be Disney World. And so we drove up and filled up again outside of Disney World. And sure enough, there's plenty of gas there. And so then we start making our way up through the state. And we were told that this hurricane got re-energized in the Gulf. You remember that one? And it came back in and went through North Florida and Georgia. And it's true, because we ran smack dab into it and drove through this rain that just was going sideways and moving our SUV around. And, it was crazy. I would not do that again, all right? I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't advise it, but it was crazy. But how many of you have been through a storm in your marriage? You know, how many of you have been through a storm in parenting? Maybe you're in a storm right now. Maybe you've been in a storm with your job or trying to get a job. Or maybe you've been in a storm with your health, you know, trying to negotiate that and figure all that out. There's a lot of storms that come in life. And how many know sometimes those storms come up quick? They come up rapidly. And today, the storm that we're going to talk about, that's exactly what happened. It came up rapidly. It came up unexpectedly. And it disturbed some guys who maybe, you know, these guys were professional fishermen, but they were nervous about it. In Matthew chapter 8 is where we're going to go today. This story, some of the Gospels don't overlap in the miracles that are performed, such as the one we talked about last week. But this one that we're going to talk about this week, if you're taking notes, It was three times in three of the Gospels it was mentioned about this miracle. And it happened on the Sea of Galilee, which is where Jesus spent a lot of his ministry, was around that area where that sea is located. And the thing that's unusual about this sea is the fact that it's about 300 feet below sea level. So it's unusual in how it is. And Jesus has been teaching. Matthew tells us that Jesus has been teaching for some time. He's taught some incredible things. As a matter of fact, I think one of the most powerful passages, that's just me, in reading through the life of Jesus are Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the teachings of Jesus. If you would just read those and learn those and do those, I'm telling you, it would change your life. But he's finished his teaching, and now in Matthew chapter 8, where we're finding ourselves today, miracles are happening. Healings are happening. Powerful healings, like incurable diseases that there is no answer to this, such as leprosy. But how many know Jesus has an answer for everything, right? And so Jesus heals what cannot be healed. And he does what cannot be done. And so one guy even stops him on the street. Check this out. This is mind-blowing. And he says, you know, my servant needs to be healed. And Jesus talks about, well, I could come to your house. And the guy says, no, you don't have to come to my house. Just right here on the street. You could just speak the word. And I think he'll be healed. That's power, right? And sure enough, in the moment that Jesus said, go, your servant is healed, the guy went back home, found out at the exact moment that Jesus said that, his servant got well and healed. So, I mean, these are the things that are going on as we come to this story. And Jesus is delivering people from demonic oppression. I want somebody to know there's not a devil big enough to stop Jesus. And he even heals Peter's mother-in-law. Some people don't know that Peter was married. He was a married man. And the same Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost, he was married. And his mother-in-law was ill. And Jesus went to the house and healed her. And many Bible scholars believe that is why Peter denied the Lord three times after that. That is not true, okay? That is an old preacher joke that I could not resist, all right? I have a wonderful mother-in-law, by the way, so just for the record. But I want to talk to you today. You ready? Yes. Turn to the person next to you and say, get ready. I want to talk to you today about essentials in the storm. Essentials in the storm. In verse 23, Matthew chapter 8, then he got into the boat, speaking of Jesus, and his disciples followed him. I want to give you some essentials that are important when storms come up in your life. The first one is be willing to follow. You need to be willing to follow Jesus because storms will come and storms will go, but Jesus remains. And so you need to be following him. And Matthew even tells us he commanded them to get in the boat. He told them we're going to the other side, and he commanded them. It's important to do what Jesus tells you to do. We talked about that last week. If you weren't here last week, go back and listen to that message. You need to do what Jesus tells you to do. And my question today, are you going to follow Jesus even if it doesn't go where you want to go? Are you going to obey what he wants you to do, what he calls you to do? Are you going to do it even if it's in obscurity? Well, Lord, nobody's going to know my name. Well, Lord, that's not going to get me more followers on TikTok or social media of whatever kind. Lord, I'm ready to do something big. But are you willing to follow him in the boat? And I like what Mark says when he tells this story. He says that they took him as he was. You need to accept Jesus for who he is, not what you try to make him to be. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to you right now, okay? Are you listening? You need to not try to form Jesus to what you want or your desires or whatever, but what does he clearly command? What does he clearly say? Are you going to follow him as he is? May God give us followers at Crossroads Church who will follow Jesus no matter what. No matter what he says, what it costs, or what it could cost, we're going to go ahead and follow Jesus all the way. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
All right. So, because that's what, by the way, that's what being a disciple is. It's not just coming to church. Because if you think, well, I'm a disciple of Jesus because I go to church. No. Not necessarily. Well, I give an offering, though. But I sing the songs. I actually participate in the service. No. Listen, let me be clear. I want you to understand that is not being a disciple of Jesus. A true disciple of Jesus follows Jesus. He says, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross. Follow me. You got to take away everything else and just focus on me, following me. So I want to ask today, how many true followers do we have this morning that are true disciples of Jesus? C.S. Lewis, I think we can pull up this quote, says, until you have given up yourself to him, you will not have a real self. You have to get in the boat. You have to obey what he says. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, it says that suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. And I think I misspoke earlier because I checked it out here in my notes. Somebody will fact check me and you'll know that this was incorrect. So I'm going to correct it right now. It's the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. Okay, 700 feet below sea level. And then there's mountainous area around it. So they tell me, I've not been there yet, I'd love to see it myself, but storms can just come over those mountains. They can just come over and down into the depths of that lower sea, and when they do that, it can stir up a storm immediately. And so you just don't know what to expect. But here's what I want to say today, if you're taking notes, write this down. Storms can strengthen you. They don't have to destroy you. They can strengthen you. You know, in life, you may be going along. How many of you just been going along and you're thinking, boy, it seems pretty good right now. And then, boom, something happens. You ever been there? I've been there. to where you think, boy, life's pretty good right now. And boom, something happens out of your control. A storm comes in, and you may be dealing with that today, because here's what I know about everybody here today is you're either in a storm, you just came out of a storm, or you're headed into a storm, all right? That's the good news. We can all be dismissed today. Thank you for coming to Crossroads Church, right? To hear about that. But Jesus knew, you got to think about this. He knew it was going to go into a storm when he told them to get on it. He knows everything. And so he knew ahead of time that this was what was going to take place. And he knew that this is going to build their faith. It's not going to destroy their faith. It's going to build their faith. And I think God knows some of that about you. Because you may be questioning, why is God allowing this to happen right now? Because he knows what's going to happen on the other side of this. He knows if you'll stay faithful to him, if you'll keep in there, if you'll stay true to his word, if you'll keep following, you'll come out on the other side better than how you went into it. I mean, you know, it happens that way. And here's what's funny. You know this. Just maybe try this week. If you get to know somebody and you didn't really know them before, just ask them, hey, so what's been the story of your life? And you know what? I guarantee you, when people tell you the story of their life, they will tell you about storms. It happens every time. They'll say, well, then we got this marriage crisis that happened, and we got through that. Or it'll involve, you know, I didn't get through that. Or it'll involve a storm. Because there's just some lessons. How many know you wouldn't have learned that lesson if you hadn't gone through the storm? And so here's what's crazy about this storm, though. Jesus is sleeping right through it. And to help us understand, I want to pull up a picture today of where Jesus might have been when sleeping. This is a first century fishing boat, would be similar to this. And so we're not talking, you know, a big cruise ship. We're not talking, you know, probably only part of the disciples were in this boat. And some were in another boat. They probably could not have all fit. And you see this when it talks about the disciples going and fishing, that there's several boats out there. And one time when they caught so many fish, they said, hey, you other boats, you got to help out because we can't hold it all in this boat. And so Jesus is sleeping right there. I mean, he's not far away. He's not somewhere where you can't see him. And I want somebody to know today that when you're going through your storm, Jesus is not far away. He's not distant. And he knows the potential of the storm, not to harm you, but to help you. And so I also want you to know that when you're following Jesus, if somebody told you, well, if you follow Jesus, it's all great. It's all wonderful. I want you to know, following Jesus, these guys are following Jesus, and they go right into a storm. And so just because you're following Jesus doesn't keep you from storms, but it does keep you from storms without a purpose. In other words, you can learn from your storms. You can grow through your storms. You can develop because of your storms. If you have a purpose in it, you can stay with it, right? How many know when the storm comes up, it's not time to get in another boat. It's not time to bail. It's not time to jump out. It's time to call on Jesus in your boat. See, but most of us, I'll just be honest, most of us would rather stay back on land with all the miracles. You know, all the deliverance that's going on. I mean, that was awesome. But Jesus leads the disciples into a storm. And we don't want dark clouds. But I like a song that I grew up singing in the church. It was Andre Crouch, I think, that recorded this song. Probably wrote it and recorded it. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, right? I mean, if it had not been for the storm, I wouldn't know that I could go through the storm. If it had not been for the tough times, I wouldn't know that I could get through the tough season. See, God wants to help us today, church. I want to encourage you, get stronger in the storm. Get stronger in it. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. There are too many people today that bail, that walk away. See, what is different about you is you're following Jesus. See, and if Jesus is in the boat, it makes all the difference in the world. Look at James chapter 1, verse 3. This is the brother of Jesus. And here's what he says. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. See, in other words, what James is saying is, testing builds tenacity. The testing builds tenacity. See, it's when you don't get promoted. That's the big moment. It's when the marriage is struggling. It's when the kids are misbehaving. It's when the car won't start. It's when your kids are still far from God. It's when the bills are piled up, and then there comes another one. You ever been there? I want you to know you are not alone in the storm. Jesus is in the boat. The Savior's in the storm also. But can you imagine these guys? I mean, Jesus is asleep, and maybe they have a bucket or two. I don't know what they've got there in the boat, you know, ready to put the fish in. They're not using it for fish right now. They're using it to get the water out, because the scripture says that the waves were coming into the boat, and they were afraid for their lives. I mean, in the middle of it all, they're like, we're going under. This is not good. Why is this storm happening, Lord? Why are you allowing this to happen? And then this doesn't help. You look, and Jesus is asleep, right? He's just sleeping right through it. And so they do something that maybe they should have done earlier. But before I get to that part, let me just say, maybe we ought to be more like Jesus, where we can rest even in the storms, where we can rest even when the wind's blowing, the waves are crashing, and everything's all breaking out around us, and yet we are at rest. We're at rest. When you know whose you are, there's no need to fear. Let me say it like that. See, it's when you're on the job and everybody else is freaking out because of what's going on, but you have joy. And you look delirious, right? It's like, what are you smoking, you know? You just came back from break. Let me smell your breath, you know? Let me see what this is about. Because that's not normal. Normal for this culture is to freak out. Normal for this culture is to take more pills. to drink more, to do something else, to escape, to sleep around more, to do something to numb the pain, to do something to take your mind off of it. You know, and then when you're still in the midst of it, in the midst of what you're going through, and there may be a personal storm, and people know about your personal storm, and yet you're not giving into fear, and you have this joy upon you, you have this peace upon you, and this is what causes people around you at work to say, but you're losing your job. You got to clean out your desk this week, and you're smiling. What is going on? Or I know your spouse walked out. You know, I know what's going on with your kids right now. And look at you. It's like you don't even know it. It's like you're acting like that's not even happening. And what I want to know is, how do you do it? See, this is what God's looking for today. He's looking for people who have a peace that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. And here's the thing, when you pray, Lord, give me a stronger faith, you know what he does? He leads you into a storm. All right, this will do it. Because it takes a storm to get us ready for the next one. You know, we have to, if you're working out, you can't just stick with 10-pound dumbbells. You know, you can't just say, well, you know what, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and I don't know why I'm not getting bigger results, you know? No, you got, how many know, you got to graduate. If you're doing, how many been through physical therapy? You know, and sometimes it's like, what are you trying to do to me right now? And they would say, I'm trying to help you. And you think, no, you're trying to hurt me. That's what you're trying to do. No, they know that you've got to exceed the limits. You've got to push yourself if you're going to grow. And the same thing God knows in your life. If you're going to grow, you're going to have to go through some storms. And storms can strengthen you. Here's the next thing. Go ahead and write this down. Prayer in the storm. You better be praying in the storm. And I love the prayer. This is one of my favorite prayers in all the Bible. It's three words. The disciples went and woke him, saying at the same time, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Save us. Lord, save us. How many know it's about time somebody prayed? Oh, they've been busy trying to get the water out. They've been trying to, you know, figure out how. Come on, John, steer this thing. We got to get out of this storm, you know. What are you doing back there? Get a hold of that thing and steer it better, you know. Yeah, I think you're going right into the storm instead of going out of it. And, oh, come on, let me back there and let me drive this thing. And there's all this going on, all this chaos going on. But it's about time somebody said, whoa, let's call on Jesus. See, Jesus shouldn't be the last resort. He should be the first response. He's not, well, if all else fails, now all we can do is pray. No, he's what we're going to do from the very get-go. And these three words, I just want you to know, if there's somebody here today who says, well, Craig, I love to hear you pray because when you pray, it makes sense. And it's like you're talking straight to God. And I love that. But I just struggle with prayer. I want you to know this is a powerful prayer. And it's three words. This three-word prayer engages the God of heaven into their circumstances. Are you hearing me today? This three-word prayer with faith behind it, and I'll talk about that in a moment, it activates Jesus to do something about the situation. And how often are we busy bailing the water out of the boat? Arguing about who's steering it. You know, fussing around and stirring around, trying our own methods and everything to get out of the storm, when all it takes maybe is to call on Jesus, to just speak to him. I think about another old song that I grew up with, and here's the line that jumped out at me this week when I was studying this message is, "Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." How many, I've done some needless pain. You know, we need to call on God. Psalm 42:5, how many talk to yourselves? Okay, the rest of you are lying right now, all right? So I'm just saying. It's how you talk to yourself. I love how the psalmist talked to himself. Verse 5 of chapter 42. "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" You know, maybe he's staring in a mirror. "Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." This is the verse where I said some time ago, this is what changed the way when I look at my Yeti cup. I don't see Yeti, I see yet I will praise him. I don't care what I'm going through, I'm going to praise him. And how many believe and how many have seen, you can praise your way out of a storm, right? Verse 26. Here's what Jesus says. "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Because there's a storm. "And he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm." Here's the next thing to write down, is activate real faith. You need to activate real faith. It's real faith when it works in a storm. And again, it's just a small prayer. It's not, "Oh, thou great God of the universe, who has made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, we beseech thee in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And all. They're not doing all that. They're not throwing a lot of words. "Lord, save us. Help." And they believe. Here's activating faith. It's not the prayer and the words and all the things. It's not where you are in the right building, facing the right direction or whatever. No. What it is believing this guy can do something. That's what real faith is. It's who your faith is in. And if you just activate your little faith today. See, and I brought a mustard seed up here. And it's in this bottle, and it is so tiny. It's like a speck. It's just like a speck. It's like, I can't even show it to you. It's so minute. It's so tiny. It's kind of like if you were to take a ballpoint pen and just make a small mark on a paper that's the size of this seed. And Jesus says, that's all you need. You know why he said that? Because it's not about you. See, it isn't about you bragging your great faith that moved God, and your words and whatever, and or because you're so holy, because you just live such a, you know so much of the Bible, and you've got so much of it memorized. You're so smart. You're so wise. No, it isn't about you, Jesus says. Jesus says, you just bring your little faith, and you put it in the right direction with the right person, because I want somebody to know it's not the size of your faith, just like it's not the size of your ship and it's not the size of your storm. It's the size of your Savior that makes all the difference. Little faith today can calm any storm. And here, let's wrap this up. The men in verse 27, they were amazed. I mean, because everything just, and they asked to each other, what kind of man is this? Even the wind, I know leprosy moves. I know deaf ears respond. I know blinded eyes. I know Peter, your mother-in-law, but this is big. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Here's the last thing that's essential is live in awe of Jesus. Just live in awe. That's why when we were singing Worthy to the Lord, that's who he is. See, think about him. To stand in awe of him. We sing a song sometimes, Lord, I'm amazed by you. Are you still amazed by him? Because the miracle is not the focus. The focus is the man. See, it's not about the storm. It's about the Savior. It's not about the condition. It's not about all those things. And we don't pursue the miracle. Listen to me, church, as we wrap this up. Listen, we don't just pursue the miracle. We pursue the miracle maker. All right? And in pursuing the miracle maker, because here's what I know. If Jesus is in the boat, we can make it to the other side, right? We can make it. If he's in the boat, if he is with me, then what can be against me? See, David knew it's not the size of the giant, it's the size of our God that makes the difference. And today, I wonder what your focus is. Maybe you're focusing on, you know, what's going on in your house and the stirring and the bailing out of the water and all this stuff, and you got all this stuff going on. If you just wait, just stop and just say, Lord, help me, because I know you can do it. I know who you are. I know that you're a miracle maker. I want you to know that nearly a year ago when I was suffering a stroke, I'm telling you, I knew who could do it. My hope was built on Jesus, not on doctors, not on hospitals. I thank God for him. But hey, Jesus is the miracle worker. He does miracles today, and he can do one for you. Let's pray. Father, help us today. Those of us, especially that may be struggling, God, for that person today that just needed to be reminded. That's not about us. It's not about how great our faith is and how great we are. It's about how great you are. It's trusting you. It's knowing that you're in the boat with us. And that one word from you changes everything. Maybe you're here today and you say, oh, Craig, I needed this today. I'm going through a storm right now. Or I see one on the horizon. And I'm encouraged today because I know Jesus is in my boat. And I know that I'm going to make it. I know that he'll make a way even where there seems to be no way. I'm declaring my faith, my hope in Jesus all over again. If that's you today, maybe you're in a storm or headed into one or coming out of one, just raise your hand today. Just raise it up and say, yes, Lord, you're in charge. You're in control. I'm trusting you with this situation. I'm trusting you. Let's put our confidence in him today. Father, touch your people right now. Those that are going through different kinds of storms. God, I ask that you will just encourage them right now. Let them get a hold of this message. Maybe they've been distracted by the storm. They've been distracted by the wind. They've been distracted by the waves, all of the noise. But God, today, we want to be more like you. We want to be asleep in the boat. We want to have peace in the midst of the storm. And Lord, we know one word from you can change everything. Others of you maybe are here today, and maybe you've never called on Jesus. You've never asked Jesus to be in your life and invited him in. And so today, maybe you're fighting the storms all by yourself. Maybe you're going through stuff and it's all on you because you've not given your life over to Jesus. I want to invite you today to do that. For me, it's the best decision I ever made in my life. And I know it will be your best decision as well, because he will come in and he can do anything. If you want to invite Jesus into your life today, will you just raise up a hand all over this room? Just say, yeah, that's me. I need him. I need him in my life. I need him. And online, if you're watching today and you need to respond, just type the word decided in the chat. The word decided in the chat. And we'll be praying for you as well. As a matter of fact, everybody pray this prayer with me. Just repeat it after me and declare it out loud so that those who raised a hand will declare it as well. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me, to pay for my sin so that I can be forgiven. I believe his death was a sacrifice for me, so that I can be whole, I can be healed, I can be saved. So from this day on, as much as I know how, I place my confidence in you. Thank you for receiving me as a child of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, CFAM, let's praise God for those who prayed that prayer. Listen, there's next steps that you can take. They're on the screens right from where you are. You can just text those words and take that next step. Or also on the card as well that you received in person and filled out, you can respond on that card. And every week we have people who say, I'm committing my life to Christ on the card, or they're saying, I'm recommitting my life to Christ on the card. So you can do that as well and then turn that in. Also, one more option. You can go across the hall over here to a classroom that's our Next Steps room. And one of our elders will be there. And you can talk to them about baptism, which is coming up in a few weeks, or some other next steps that you need to take. And they'd be glad to help you with that. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come here in a moment. And listen, if I were you, and I was going through a storm, or I saw one headed my direction, I'd come down here today. That's what I would do. I would come down here and invite somebody to pray with me and pray for me going through that storm. That's me, because I just believe in the power of prayer. And I believe in the power of agreement in prayer as well. And these folks would love to pray with you and pray for you. Let's stand to our feet. How many are glad Jesus is in the boat today, right? We're going to make it. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. All right, let me pray a blessing over you. Father, we thank you today that you have promised you'll never leave us, never abandon us. Lord, I pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit that you will draw every person who needs prayer down here to the altar to receive the prayer that they need. And God, I pray you'll do miracles at this altar today. I pray that you'll do signs and wonders, that you'll do miraculous things beyond what we could comprehend. And God, we know you're that kind of God. And so we praise you and thank you for your hand upon our lives. Help us, Lord, to show somebody this week just who it is in our lives so that they will want what we have in Jesus' name. Amen.